In the precious name of Jesus, who is the light of the world, the light to our path, the light of our lives. Amen. I would invite you to take out your Bibles if you brought them along this evening, and if not, please use one of the Pew Bibles to turn to our text this evening, a reading from Matthew chapter 13. If you're a visitor with us tonight, and I know we have a number of visitors, if you're a visitor with us and do not have a Bible at home, we encourage you to take one of the Pew Bibles as our gift to you so that you can read and study God's precious word throughout the week. May God bless my speaking and your hearing for Jesus' sake. Amen. If you've opened your Bibles, you'll see that the parable we're talking about tonight is the parable of the soils. It's probably one of my favorite parables, and perhaps one of the best known parables, and maybe one of your favorite parables. As Pastor alluded to earlier tonight at the outset of the service, so the theme for tonight and the message is, so what sort of soil are you? I hope that's a question you'll take away with you this evening. God bless you to that end. If you look at Matthew chapter 12, the last several verses, you'll see that Jesus was with his disciples in a house that was packed with people. So packed that people weren't able to hear him very well, and his mother and brothers and sisters weren't able to get close to where he was. Might be interesting, we've been talking in the Sunday morning Bible class that I teach, we've been talking recently about Jesus having brothers and sisters. And the text, at least from chapter 12, is one of those that gives us the idea that Jesus did have younger siblings. He was the oldest, of course, the one who was born without Mary and Joseph knowing each other in a biblical sense, and Mary and Joseph knowing one another, having relations with one another, and other children that followed after. Jesus' mother and his brothers came to try and see him, but they couldn't because there were so many people crowding the house where he was preaching and teaching. Chapter 13, the beginning of our text, says, so what Jesus did is left the house, and he went out by the sea. As he went out to the sea, there were so many people that gathered from the house and from the community, he actually had to get into a boat because they were so crowding him that everybody couldn't see or hear. He got out into the boat and pushed away a little bit from the shore, and then he could sit down in the boat and preach and teach, so that sort of a natural amphitheater was developed as they stood by and sat by the seashore and they could hear and listen. What Jesus was doing was telling them about the kingdom of God. He was revealing why he had come to the world. He was telling them that the Father loved them so much that he came to be among them, and he wanted them to be a part of his kingdom, a part of those who believed in him as Lord and Savior. And so Jesus spoke to them, the Bible says, in parables. You may remember that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's a story that people could grasp and understand, and then when they understood it, they could see God's design and God's plan. Remember always that Jesus is the key to unlocking the parables. If you have Jesus and see how he unlocks the parable, then you have what the parable means and what it teaches. Well, this wonderful parable was the parable Jesus was telling them about the farmer. He said there was a farmer who went out to sow his seed. And this farmer believed that the seed had power. And so as the sower sowed the seed, they didn't do it the way we do with modern farm machinery today, with a chisel and a plow and to be able to plant a drill so that the seeds would go in exactly the right places. Instead, what they would do is broadcast the seed. And Jesus said there was a man who threw the seed. And as he threw the seed, it fell in all sorts of places. He wasn't worried about where it went, because the farmer knew that there was power in the seed. And where the seed went, God would cause it to germinate and grow. So the first place that some of that seed went was on the pathway, a pathway that was trodden. It was dark, and it was packed down. And Jesus said, that first seed went along the pathway, and it didn't penetrate the soil. Instead, what happened is that the birds came and ate it up, and it wasn't able to penetrate the soil and to do what the farmer had intended. But the farmer wasn't worried about that. He continued to sow seed. And as he sowed that seed, some of the seed, Jesus said, fell on ground that was rocky. It came up quickly because there was no depth to the soil. But when it came up, then the sun, like the Kansas 100-degree sun, came and beat down on that seed, on the little plants, and they quickly died. Because there was no depth of soil, the roots were not able to go deep to stay nourished and for that plant to live. The farmer wasn't intimidated. He threw more seed. And that seed that he threw as he went out, that some of that seed fell on weed-infested ground. What our Bible tells us is that there were thorns there. I think of them as the weeds. Those plants did burrow down, or the seed did, and it germinated, it came up. But it wasn't long before the weeds that were all around those plants ended up also growing and choking out the seeds, so that that seed, those plants, also died. But Jesus said in the parable, the farmer kept sowing the seeds, and as he sowed the seed, some of that seed ended up falling upon rich and fertile soil, soil that continued to grow, allowing that seed to penetrate it and then to grow, some of it 30, 60, and 100-fold. I've told a number of you that I'm from a farm family. At least my mom was raised on the farm in South Dakota. I remember many times as a child going to the farm and seeing Grandpa out in the field. What he would often do is pick up a full handful of soil and he'd press it together in his hand and then he'd take it to his nose and he'd smell the soil. And he would know that it was rich, fertile, productive, beautiful soil that would receive the seed, allow it to grow, and in its growing, there'd be a wonderful harvest. Jesus told this parable to the crowds, those who were on the seaside, and to his disciples. And the disciples later on said to Jesus, "Jesus, what is this story of the parable? What are we supposed to get from it? How do we understand it?" And Jesus then explained to the disciples. He said that the farmer is God. I'm the one sowing the seed. And the seed that I sow is the seed of God's word. God intends for that word to sink down into soil, into the hearts of people, that they would know and receive, that they would believe, that they would come to saving faith and be a part of that great kingdom, that they would be gathered in on that last day to heaven and to be with him and all believers in all the world who trust in Jesus. Jesus is the key to the parable. Jesus wanted them to know that it was about his word. And what do we know about Jesus? Jesus is the living word. The Bible is his written word. And in the written word, we find Jesus, the living word. The word of God. God himself come to the world. What Jesus wanted them to know was about the kingdom, about salvation, about eternal life. And in him was eternal life. Jesus wants to be in those hearts, and he wants to be in our hearts too. He comes to us in his word so that we might believe, that we would receive him, that we would receive the gift of eternal life to be gathered with him forever. It's not something that we do. It's not something we accomplish. It's what he does by his grace and through the power of the seed of his word. Well, what about these places? What about the soil? So what sort of soils are we talking about? Well, the first sort of soil was that packed soil that the seed didn't penetrate. And Jesus says in our text, these are like those who hear the word, but they don't understand it. They don't receive it. It doesn't penetrate their hearts. What the devil does is he comes and snatches up that seed, and it's gone, and it does no good to that hard-packed soil. That's like people who hear the word of God, but don't receive it, don't believe it. I'm thinking about a man whose name is Monty. I met him on a plane. And as I had a chance during the time we were together on that plane flight, I shared the message of the gospel with him. He was a surgeon. He was a specialist with hand surgery. And as I shared the gospel with him, it was obvious he didn't really care. And through our conversation, I came to know that he had heard the gospel before. It wasn't the first time he had heard it. And he reminds me of this hard-packed soil. Those that hear it, but don't believe it, and it doesn't penetrate their lives or make a difference for them. The second kind of soil, Jesus said, is the kind of soil like this rocky ground. It's those who receive the word of God. It becomes real in them. It begins to grow. But the rocky ground is that ground of the people's hearts where there become troubles or persecutions because of the word. It starts to grow, but when trouble comes, it dies out. The way I think of it is the rocky ground, rocks are hard things, difficulties. When troubles come and when persecution comes because of the word of God, then that faith that had begun is choked out. I met another man whose name was Chen. Chen was from China, and he came to know the gospel here in the United States, and then he was going to go back home. He wasn't sure how his faith would go. He didn't think he'd be able to talk about it or tell others about it. And I wondered about this kind of soil and Chen. It seems to me it grew up, but when troubles come, when persecution because of the word comes, then that seed dies out too. But the farmer keeps planting. God knows that his word, as it goes out, it will accomplish the thing for which he sends it. That's what Isaiah says in our first lesson for tonight. So the third kind of soil is this soil which is the heart of a person where the seed begins to grow, but the worries and the wealth of the world choke it out. I remember all the W's. The W's. The weeds are the worries and the wealth of the world. I wonder about, frankly, members of our congregation. In the years that I've been here, I've seen people come and believe and become attached and start to grow, but then they sort of filter away. What about those who spend most of the weekends at the lake? How about those who are working on Sundays and they are so busy with the wealth and the worries of the world? They seem to grow, but then they seem to die away, and I wonder about that faith. God is the one who sees. God knows. It's not me. But I wonder what God sees when he looks at their faith and how it seems to grow. Finally, there's the fourth kind of soil. And that fourth soil is the soil which is rich and productive and receives the seed. And the seed goes down into that soil and it germinates and it begins to grow. That's this kind of soil. And I thought of a young man who maybe some of you know, whose name is Eric. A couple of years ago, Eric called our church and asked if he could pray here. He said when he was on the phone, he wasn't sure whether he was Buddhist or an atheist. And I said, well, in my own mind, if you're an atheist, I'm not sure to whom you'd be praying anyway. But if you're a Buddhist, I'd like for you to come and you can pray at Holy Cross. But when you come, I'd like to meet you, I'd like to know you, and I'd like to introduce you to a friend of mine whose name is Jesus. It wasn't long afterward that Eric did come, and we met and we talked, and the gospel was shared with him, and he came to a Saturday night service for his first service. And he said, Pastor, what do I do? He had never been to a Christian church before. And I found somebody in that section of the church who would sit with him, explain the worship service. And week after week, Eric came until he came to the point where he asked me, here's water. What would keep me from being baptized? And we talked more about Jesus, and the word grew in his life. And he desired baptism and was baptized, became a member of our congregation. And not only that, but he gave regularly and faithfully from what the Lord had given him in the Lord's service and returning to the Lord. He also read his Bible faithfully, and he would come to me periodically and say, Pastor, I'd like to meet with you because I have more questions about the Bible. I knew that he was giving. I knew that he was worshiping. I knew that he was reading his Bible. I could see that his life and faith was producing 30, 60, and 100-fold. So, what sort of soil are you? God's word seeks to penetrate your heart. Is it the pathway? Is it the rocky place where it grows up, but because of persecution or hardship, because of the world and the word, it dies out? Is it the kind of soil that's choked out by the worries, by the wealth of the world, or is it this kind of soil? We desire it to be this kind of soil, but sometimes I think we let the word come to us, we believe it, and then we want to become rich and fat in the word instead of sharing the word. God intends that we be this kind of soil, that it produce many times over, and that as we give, as we live, as we serve, we do so in ways that honor and please him. I thought of three kinds of produce and how they reproduce. They're not bad, but they are different. This first one is a carrot. When a carrot seed is planted, it grows, and what does it produce? One carrot. Now, one carrot's a blessing, and that's a good thing, but I thought then about a grape seed. When a grape seed is planted and it grows, it produces a cluster of grapes, dozens of grapes. It's good, and maybe it's even better. It's good. God causes it to produce. And then I thought finally of an ear of corn. When you think of an ear of corn, it starts with a single seed, but then as that seed grows, it produces a stalk. And the stalk produces ears of corn. And those ears of corn produce hundreds of kernels of corn. Maybe that's the illustration Jesus was using when he calls us to receive his word, to believe it, to grow as a part of his kingdom, and to produce, not just once or twice or several, but 30, 60, and 100-fold. What is it that's produced? What is it that God desires? Well, his desire is for a harvest of souls, so that one day and ultimately, standing before his throne, before the throne of Jesus, would be multiple souls. Souls who have heard and received and believed and grown and multiplied in the word so that more and more might see and hear and believe. So, what kind of soil are you? For Jesus' sake, may you be that soil that receives the seed of his word and multiplies 30, 60, and 100-fold to God's glory and to your benefit and the benefit of those about you. May it be so for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the light of the world, the seed of God's word in our hearts and minds. Amen.